She understood that she needed Jesus as her personal Savior. And so even though her church was not that fundamental, she was able to, through the Word of God and the Scripture, come to know him as her personal Savior. My dad grew up on a farm. He was a farmer. He quit school in eighth grade, hired out to work. That was how they did it back then. And he went in the service, and it was in one of those, what we call a foxhole conversion. It was in the war, World War II, and he grew up in his mom was a Christian, so he knew, he heard, and it was there that he prayed to the Lord and said, "Lord, if you will save me, I will serve you the rest of my life." And then when he came home from the service, he got married, and they were attending a Methodist church right there in the area. It was the only church there. And it was there that he went forward and made a public confession that he accepted the Lord as his Savior. And he was true to his word that he prayed to the Lord during the war, because he was quite an example. If the church doors were open, he was there. And he just, you could see the love of the Lord in his life. And even though he only had an eighth grade education and didn't have the greatest vocabulary and all that, he would witness to anybody. There was nobody that was too educated for him to talk to. It didn't bother him. If they had a PhD, he would still talk to them and tell them about the Lord and things. So he was a good example to us. And then I mentioned they attended a Methodist church, and that's what I was brought up in as a child. When I was about second or third grade, the public school would drop us off at a church down from our house, and we'd have a Good News Club. CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, is what we had. Do you have that down here? CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, is where they go around and teach children. It's basically for teaching children. So we would meet after school one day a week, and they would have like a Bible club class, sort of like Dave's brother and sister are doing release time down here, where they go to the schools and they'll release kids from the public school to be taught the Bible. And so it was there that it finally, I understood and saw my need of the Lord as my personal Savior. I realized I was a sinner, that I couldn't save myself. There's nothing I could do. And so after the lesson, the teacher said, if anybody wants to accept the Lord as their Savior, you come up to us afterwards. So then when the lesson was over, I went up and talked to her, and she showed me from the Bible how to accept the Lord as my Savior, and I did there. And I remember the mom came to pick us up. We hopped in the car, and she was the first person I told, "Mom, I accepted the Lord tonight, there today." And of course, they were thrilled with that, too. And life is a journey, as you all know, in growing. We don't know everything, and I'm still learning. I'm still growing. So in that Methodist church, they assigned a pastor to the church that didn't believe all the books of the Bible. And so my dad and some other men met with the pastor and talked to him about it. And he said, "This is how I believe. I don't believe the book of Revelation is true, and I don't think it's going to be." And so a group of them, and it was mostly my aunts and uncles, they went to the conference and asked to have him removed from the church. And they said, "No, you will just have to keep that pastor until his term's up." And so they prayed about it, and they decided to leave the church. So that was about, my dad had five brothers and sisters, so all of them left. And my grandmother left, and there was a couple other families. So it's probably about 25 or 30 people left the church because they weren't teaching the whole Word of God. And they heard on a radio somebody preaching, and it was a man who was down in the next state, Maryland, so they talked with him, and he came up and helped them to start a new church, and it was the Evangelical Methodist Church, and that's the church I grew up with. It would be an independent church like this one, only had Methodist in the name instead of Baptist, but they're not affiliated with anything, the Methodist. They only liked, because they all grew up Methodists, they knew that, the Methodist background, and that's why they chose that, Evangelical Methodist. So they also put Bible, so it's the Bible Evangelical Methodist Church. And that's what I grew up in. In attending the church, it was always a small church, but the Lord blessed. And we learned to see the Lord work there, because people say, oh, you're not going to be able to do this. You know, and I saw my mom as a real testimony, too, because when we'd go shopping and we'd see some of the people that still attended the other church, Mom would go up to greet them or to shake them hand, and they would turn away from her and shun her because they left the church. And Mom never held a grudge. She was always friendly with them. And when their trouble came and they had hardship, Mom would go to help or do something. She always had that sweet testimony to them. And I learned a lot from her, watching her do that. And my dad, too, taking the courage to pull his whole family out like that. But that's one reason when you leave a church is when they're not preaching the Word of God.
Amen.
You don't leave the church because of somebody said something to you that you didn't like.
Amen.
You don't leave because of something in the building that they decided to do it one way and you wanted it another way. That is not a reason to leave the church. My parents gave me that example of knowing, yes, things come up and you work through them and you stick together.
Yes.
You don't leave because of that. Yeah. So then as a teenager, we would get to go to Bible camp 1 week every summer. And at that Bible camp, they encouraged us to choose a life verse for ourselves. And so in praying about it, I chose Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I just grew up on a farm. Education wasn't a high priority for us, and so I wasn't interested in all that kind of stuff. Busy working on the farm. Summers were spent picking tomatoes or whatever farm work had to be done. And so I wasn't interested in going to college. I wasn't interested in all that kind of stuff. But I chose that verse, and that has helped me through everything that's come up in my life. You know, something come up, you think, oh, this is impossible. Now, with the Lord, we can do anything. And just sometimes we just have to step back and let him do it and watch. And he does. And then another thing they told us at this summer camp, they said everybody should attend, all you teens, they said you should attend 1 year of Bible college after you graduate from high school. Well, I wasn't even going to go to college, but we went four summers to camp, and after the fourth summer, I'm not sure that this guy's right or not. Yeah, preacher, but it stuck in the back of my mind. Everybody, he said, you can't get enough just going to church and Sunday school. You need to go to a year of Bible college to get a good foundation before you go on into your career. So my senior year, I met with the guidance counselor, and they do testing in school to see where you would be good, and I tested to be good for becoming a nurse, and that's what I was looking into that. Going into nursing. And then I told the guidance counselor, I said, well, I want to go 1 year to Bible college. I said, you know, we've been told this at camp, and I said, I'll just go 1 year, and then I'll go into nursing. Oh, the guidance counselor got so upset. He said, if you do that, you'll never become a nurse. And, of course, now I can say he was right. Because I did go 1 year to Bible college. It was a very, very small Bible college. In fact, The Bible Evangelical Methodist Church started a college to help train pastors to fill their churches, because the churches started growing because people were leaving churches that weren't preaching the whole word. And so they had churches in California, they had them in Maryland, in Pennsylvania, Tennessee. They're having trouble getting pastors for their churches, so they decided to start at their own college and train. So I went to that college for the first year, and I was so not college material. I was so not. But the Lord just worked in that. He knew what he wanted me to be when I grew up. And he just worked, and by the end of that first year, decided, you know what? It's not as bad as I thought. I think I'll go one more year. And of course, my parents said, well, if you're going to college, you're going to major in something that you can use. You're not just going to take liberal arts and have nothing. So I looked at the different majors they had. Being a small college, they didn't have many. They had elementary education, they had missions, and then they had pastors. So I thought, well, my brother became a missionary to Jamaica. And I thought, well, maybe I was interested in missions. So I thought, well, maybe I'm just interested because he's in missions. So I thought, oh, maybe elementary education. And I thought, well, if I become a missionary, I could use that on the mission field too. So that's what I did. I majored in elementary ed. And it turned out I just loved it. And the Lord knew that's what he created me to do. And I just loved it. And I was hired my senior year before I actually graduated, because where I did my student teaching, they had a shortage of teachers, and the one class had three teachers that year, and they said, please, can you finish out the last semester of school by correspondence? And so I did that. I took the class and finished out so they could have a teacher for the rest of the year. And then on weekends, I'd have to travel up to the college and take my tests and things. So I did that, and then I ended up teaching there for about 15 years. It was a Christian school, Harford Christian School in Maryland. I lived in Pennsylvania, but it was just across the border, so I drove back and forth every day. It's about a 30-minute drive, so it wasn't that far. So I did that, and then I sort of skipped this part in between I had here. Growing up, I also always had a horse. Growing up, we had a farm, and somebody gave us an old retired show horse. That was our first horse. Didn't have a saddle for it or anything. We just rode it bareback, and we learned we had a little hill. We'd get on, help each other up on the bottom of the hill, ride the horse up the top of the hill, get off, lead it down. And so we finally learned how to stay on it the whole time and to guide it and everything. But as a teenager, I had a horse, and of course, with farm work, usually till we get done with our farm work, it was too late to go places. You know, all the other kids were already at those places, so I would saddle up my horse and go riding, and so a horse became my best friend all through my teenage years. And it really, you know, you might think, oh, that's sad, that's lonely, but no, it saved me a lot. I didn't get into a lot of trouble that all the teens do, running around and all the things that they call fun. So they always said, too, they told me that, oh, the Lord will put things in your life that you enjoy doing. He doesn't want you to be miserable in your career or what you want to do. And I thought, how can the Lord ever use this for his honor and glory, my love for horses? And it turned out that, you know, being a teacher, I had my summers off. So when my brother was in Jamaica, I would go down to Jamaica every summer and helped him with his summer camp there. So I had that opportunity. And then the mission field closed to missionaries. He was there 7 years, and it closed. All the missionaries had to come home. And so when he came home, then we started a camp in our area, and a Christian camp, summer camp. So then I started working at the summer camp, and my brother started becoming a director there. And of course, they had horses there, so I got to run the horse program for the camp and be a counselor, and then I was able to help them out with that. So the Lord even used that. My love for horses, I've been able to use that for him all my life until I got married. I had a horse up until I got married. When I got married, I gave my horse to the camp. He's worth it. So I got something better than a horse. So, yeah. That good save. Yes, so far, far better. Yeah, I was definitely. I actually didn't think I was ever going to get married because after I was 28 years old and I wasn't married, I thought, okay, too late. I'm too old now to get married. And so the Lord made me wait 10 more years before he brought the right person into my life. There were other people that came around that I just didn't trust them, and just Christian, you got to be careful even with Christians. I was looking for somebody who was a growing Christian. I wanted a growing Christian, not somebody just said, yes, they go to church every week and every Sunday, but they didn't have, you can tell somebody that has a love for the Lord or they're just doing their duty going. And so I was looking for somebody like him. The Lord brought the right person into my life. And then after we got married, we lived in Pennsylvania. Oh, I thought I'd share this too. We lived in Pennsylvania for the first 5 years and had our two boys there. And it was in Lancaster. And then he had his own business, so he was working so much because he had his business to do during the day. And then at night, he had all the paperwork for that business that had to be taken care of. So with two boys, and they wanted his attention and stuff, so he decided to go work for another company so he could have his evenings off to play with the boys and things. So he did that, and then he got a job, and we moved to Michigan for 2.5 years because that was a place where he could just have an office and work 9 to 5 and then be home. And with the boys. Well, and the headquarters for his job was there in Michigan. So we lived there 2.5 years, and we were so homesick. That was the first time I was that far away from everybody. I felt like I was in a foreign country. And I was in the United States, but it was like a foreign country. They spoke English there, but, oh, we were so homesick. The boys were homesick, and it was something I would have never chosen, but it was so needful for me because I had to turn to the Lord and depend on him. You know, when you live close to your family, you could always call mom, how you do this, or mom, or can you help me with this and stuff. And you know, when you move to some area where there's nobody, you really learn to depend on the Lord. And I had some growing up to do in the Lord, and It was good for me. I needed that. So, but we were very homesick. So we found, Dave said, well, they will move me to Maryland, which is only, it was only like an hour and a half away from our parents and our family. And so we thought, well, we'll try that. So we did. And we lived in Maryland for 4 years. But then his job was a lot of traveling. And he was gone all week, sort of like he is right now. But we don't have boys at home now, so it's not so bad. And so we were in Maryland, and we started homeschooling the boys, and we were starting to have some struggles with them because, you know, during the week I was in charge of them, and then come on the weekend, then they'd switch over, and Dad was in charge of everything. And so, you know, especially Jonathan, he was a very strong-willed child, and he would tell me, you know, you're not my boss. I don't have to listen to you. And he would do this. And so they would straighten him out. And so finally we thought, you know, this is not good. He needs to be in their life more. So we moved back to Michigan so he could get an office job. We were there 11 and a half years. So basically the boys grew up there in Michigan. And they started college there. Yes, and after they were in college, then we thought, well, our parents are older now. It'd be nice if we were a little bit closer to be able to help them out. So we were able to get transferred to Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, which was 2 hours away from our home. So while I was there, I did the church we went to, Calvary Baptist Church, also had a Christian school in it, so I started teaching in a Christian school there. And then we were there 6 years. And then we started having grandkids. And it was so hard being so far away from grandkids. And plus, my husband was tired of the snow. I guess I was too. And he said, don't you want to live closer to them? And it took him a couple years, he working on me. And he kept searching for houses, and he'd find out. He says, look at this house I found. I said, we could live there. We'll be closer. He finally convinced me. He wore me down, I guess, is what you'd say. And so we moved to Alabama May 27th, 2017. So we've not been here too long, about 2 years, 2.5 years now. And so the Lord's opened opportunities here to serve, because I'm able to serve in the public school as a substitute teacher, and I'm loving it. And he brought us to this church, and we just love it here, because we hear the word, we're fed, and we have good Christian fellowship here. So that's basically, any questions on that? I think I caught you up with everything.
How did y'all make the transition from the Methodist to Baptist? Where did that
Okay. My husband. Yes.
You showed her the way, brother?
He did, yes. How would I say that? One of the pastors we had, right after we got married in the church, he sort of had a personality. He was, I guess I could say that. He was preaching at people specifically, like if he knew something was wrong with something, he spoke right at that person. You know what I'm saying? And instead of just going through the Bible and teaching the Word of God and letting the Word of God sing, he would pick out things that individuals he saw do and then preach about that. And it wasn't really right, because everybody in the church knew, oh, he's talking about so-and-so did so-and-so. So we left over that and went to a different independent church. And then in Michigan, I think that was our first Baptist. We went to the Baptist. Dave always had trouble with the name Methodist because of the United Methodist, and it always bothered him. Because of the United Methodist. But we even left before that happened. But he just struggled with that, having Methodist in the name. And I thought, well, Southern Baptists have their problems too. But but we went to a Baptist church, and we've always gone to independent Baptist churches and stuff, and small churches. We did in Maryland, there was a big church. I think it was called Church of the Open Door. There, that's not Baptist, but it was too big. We went there, three or four weeks, and never had a chance to shake the pastor's hand because there's so many people there. And so then from then on, it's always been Baptist church. And that's all our sons know. Yeah, yes. I'll tell you. Yes, I never would have dreamed of moving so much, but the Lord has. I used to say it was missionary training for our boys, but I found out it's probably missionary training for me too, understanding how it has to be. And now that Jonathan's on the mission field, accepting that, it can be hard for parents. And so, I know there are some that won't let their children go if they want to go in the mission field because they want them near them and around. But to allow your children to go where the Lord wants them to go and not hold them back is the best thing. And you'll never regret it. You never regret it, even though you do miss the grandchildren. But nowadays, wow, you have FaceTime. So it's nothing like it used to be. So the Lord's still working. He's helped me through all different kinds of sicknesses. So come on up, dear.
We got to have a meeting, so can we do yours and the next time we meet, that'd be all right?
He said he'd only be 5 minutes.
5 minutes.